Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in an Attic, Wilbon, episode 55. Let us start with Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl winning coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is concerned about the fact that some teams may get into their practice facilities a little bit earlier than others. And he says all teams should be cleared to practice, not just one or two. This is a direct quote. All teams getting an opportunity to start on the same footing is a core element, unquote. Should the NFL be swayed by Tomlin's argument?
No, Tony, not at all. This might be a first. I don't think I ever disagree with Mike Tomlin about anything. And the bigger and grander and more serious the issue, the more I find myself agreeing with Mike Tomlin. I guess often we must see the world in the same way. But not this, Tony. No. This is the part of that quote. He talks about core values and what football stands for. It doesn't stand for anything that other sports don't stand for. I know football coaches are vested in that emotionally, and it's how they do what they do. But this is different. The world has never been, the modern world has never been in this place at this time. The world has never tilted this way. And so you can't, if you can't have everybody being even, are you saying you would rather not even have the season? I don't think Mike Tomlin is saying that. And I respect where he's coming from as a competitor. But Tony, there are times to make exceptions. And I don't care what your profession, this has to be one of them.
Okay, so here's a sincere disagreement that we have. And I know that is your position on college football with certain conferences, maybe even your own, the Big Ten. This is different than college. There's other things to college but football. There is, for example, college at college. This is the pros. This is just about football. To me, this is an integrity of the game issue. I mean, I get it. I get that certain states are going to open later, then take the team, move the team to a different state like they would for training camp. To me, Mike, the only determining factor in whether a team is better or not is talent and coaching. It should not be practice time.
Yeah, Tony, yes, in principle, I agree with you, and I agree with Mike Tomlin in principle. Clearly, you see exceptions. I know you believe in exceptions, and sometimes you have to say, wait a minute, this is different. This is the most different thing we have ever, as a planet, encountered. So if you're not going to make an exception for this, you and Mike Tomlin, then when?
Well, yeah, I would not make an exception because I think you start at the same date and you end at the same date. And there's another thing I think that these leagues, if they are going to start back up, I think they're going to have a step in between getting a positive test and shutting everything down. I think they're going to have to figure out, do we just take those players and remove those players, or do we end all games, or do we end the season? I think there has to be definitive plans by all leagues. And for me, it's to start
that
at the same time. So this is a disagreement we've got.
Okay. Okay. I agree with you on part of that last statement you made, Tony, about what the leagues are going to have to do. The Dallas Morning News cataloged a bunch of comments made recently about what Dak Prescott should do. Here we go, about his contract. Joe Theismann advised Dak to simply take the money. And Kirk Cousins, who is very familiar with this process, since he told Dak last season, quote, the tag can be your friend and you can use it to your advantage. Tone, should Dak Prescott be happy if he needs to be with the tag?
Yeah, I don't really get this. He's going to make, if he's tagged this year, $31.4 million. If they do it to him again, as the Redskins did it to Kirk Cousins, next year he will make $37 million. If he's worried about what Amari Cooper makes in Dallas or Zeke Elliott, they don't make anywhere close to that. I would say embrace the tag. This is Kirk Cousins' money. Don't worry about what's going to happen to you with the Cowboys because other teams are going to want you. I actually don't understand this. It's so much money.
Tony, it's so much money, but you know what? We don't worry about so much money when it comes to the owners. And Dak Prescott is looking at a difference. If we just take Kirk Cousins' guaranteed money that he finally got when he signed a long-term deal, he got 60-some million dollars. I wasn't a math major. And yes, 30 is a lot, but it ain't 60. And I think Kirk Cousins was closer to $70 million. And by the way, one of the people commenting on this is Joe Theismann, which leads me to Alex Smith. You mean to tell me you can take for granted in pro football that you are going to be healthy and ambulatory and you are going to make this amount of money if you have a serious injury? Are you kidding me? So the difference, yes, Tony, $30 million is a lot of money. It ain't 60 or 70. Dak Prescott, if he signed that long-term deal, his immediate guaranteed money would be north of $70 million, not 30.
So let me get to this again. Let me repeat the numbers. It's $31.4 million this year. It's $37 next year, which is over 60.
If he gets to next year.
$70 million. I would just ask you this. Is he as good as Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Drew Brees? Has he accomplished anything near them? I don't even understand why he's worrying about this. He wants a four-year deal. They want to give him a five-year deal. The money is going to, if you take the franchise tag, the money is large. It's just, it's so much money to me for somebody who hasn't won at the moment.
We'll okay, is it so, let me ask you this point. Is it so much money if you have half your leg?
No, if you get an Alex Smith situation or a Joe Theismann situation, no. But the guarantee this year is $31 million. And he's a durable player who I think will be all right with this. Again, a difference of opinion. Let's go to the NBA. Shaquille O'Neal told USA Today they ought to just scrap the season, right? Don't even play it. Here's a direct quote. Go home, get healthy, come back next year. Any team that wins this year, there's an asterisk. They're not going to get the respect. This echoes comments that your friend Charles Barkley has made. Just end the season. No point in finishing. Do you agree with Shaq?
No, and I respect their opinions. Shaq and Charles, I mean, they played this game a lot of years, and they love it. I mean, they love basketball. They love being at the games. They love talking about it. They love it more than we can ever even understand. But no, I don't, Tony. If you can have, and whether it's an asterisk or not next to it, I don't know. The league will figure that out. Public opinion will decide that essentially. But if you could play this, I understand. This goes back to our first story. Everything ain't going to be simple. It's not going to be like it was and like it normally is. And hopefully in 2021, we get back to something approximating normal as we knew it. But no, I'd like to see a season. And I haven't heard current players, and there's money at stake. Everybody doesn't have the general to fall back on like Shaq does. And 19 other international commercials where Shaq makes more money than anybody in the NBA except like five dudes. So they don't all have that. Maybe they want to get paid a little bit. Maybe they want to play basketball. I don't begrudge them that.
This amazes me. I love Shaquille. I love Charles Barkley. No, you play this. The NHL and the NBA, you got to finish. You played 85% of your games. If football doesn't get through, if baseball doesn't get through, they didn't start. You have to finish. You are champion. You get a ring. Maybe Shaq, because he's got four rings, doesn't think one ring is a big deal for somebody else. But I absolutely think that you play this. If you have to wait till October or November and start your next season at the end of December or January. Mike, I think those two sports, you and I are in agreement on this.
Yeah, we
those
are.
Those two sports
NHL
have to finish.
And NBA, Tone, I'd like to see it if it's at all possible. Again, you know, the world tilts a different way. We don't know what the heck is coming even, you know, on the 20th of May. But if they can have those
playoffs.
Well,
do you want to get paid? I mean, do players want to get paid? Because that's how you do it.
Yeah. I don't want to begrudge those guys that, Tone. I don't. All right. We're going to go to the last dance. The last story in our block is going to be the last dance, Tony. I know you watched. You and I talked on your podcast this morning. I know that you were riveted by episodes 7 and 8, particularly 7. So let's go with your biggest takeaway from last night, episodes 7 and 8.
So I'm going to go in ascending order. I'm going to start with 3, 2, 1. There's a tie for 3 for me. It's when Michael Jordan looks at Gary Payton saying he could guard him and laughs. Laughs at an all-star, laughs at a great player, just laughs at him, dismisses him like he's dismissed every player in this documentary so far, except for Bird and Magic. I tie that with Scottie Pippen. When Scottie Pippen says, I sat down and I would do it again. I just moved Scottie Pippen to the side. I don't want to hear from him anymore. Number two for me is Jordan weeping, holding the trophy when they win the championship, the first championship that he won without his dad. And that is not tears of joy. Those are tears of anguish. That's actual sobbing. That's amazing. Even more amazing to me is the end of episode 7. I think they should end the documentary right there. When Jordan sits there and says, this is who I am. This is what I care about. If you don't want to play this way, don't play. And then he takes the thing out of his ear and he says, break.
I'm going to pick up where you just left off. A lot of those things struck me. You and I have a fundamental difference on Scottie Pippen. Let me just register that. Because Scottie Pippen is the most underrated player of his generation. And the body of his work overrides that moment. It's a bad moment. I'm not going to back away from that. But the body of his work is tremendous. So we're going to disagree on that. But the other things, the Peyton thing was great. Because Gary Payton was one of the few guys, Tony, who felt, I'm going to take you on. I respect you. I might even love you. I know how Gary Payton feels about Michael Jordan, but he feels like I'm going to take you on. And it was interesting to see that. But what got me, Tony, above all else, and I told you this morning, when you talk about the end of episode 7, when Jordan says, I want to quote this because I want this seared in my head. Quote, my mentality was to go and win at all costs. If you don't want to live with that regimented mentality, then you don't need to be alongside of me. Because I'm going to ridicule you until you get on the same level. And if you don't get on the same level, then it's going to be hell for you. To me, Tone, not only is that the essence of who he was as an athlete, as a competitor, it's also why he did this documentary, why he finally said yes. Because he wanted people to understand the method and the madness, if you will. Here's why I did what I did. It wasn't to be a bad guy. As a matter of fact, the question was, are you a good guy? And Michael tries to explain, here's what I did, and you have to make that call yourself. I think explaining himself that way is fascinating. I've always been interested in hearing it, and I've heard it before privately. Now we're hearing it publicly. I know that had some impact on you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Look, he's an assassin, and he is insanely charismatic. And when the camera is on him, I am not leaving the room. In retrospect, some of the episodes, the camera was on too many other people. I will say, though, occasionally someone pops up and you just say, wow, I like that guy. B.J. Armstrong, for me, very impressive in the things that he says about Jordan. But Jordan on Jordan, that's top shelf stuff.
Nothing like it. All right. We could talk about this forever and people are telling us to shut up. Sage, Kevin, back to you in Bristol.
They're not telling us to shut up. They're
nicer than that. Somebody's telling me to shut up.
Oh, okay.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Glasses, legal pad, happies. Happy 37th birthday, Matt Leinart. The great USC quarterback is with Fox analyzing the subset of football he excelled at, college. Leinart won the Heisman Trophy at USC and the national championship and lost another to Vince Young in Texas, a game many people believe is the greatest title game ever. Leinart, who had Reggie Bush to hand the ball to, was 37-2 as a starter at USC. In case you didn't hear that, I said 37-2. He threw 99 touchdowns in 39 games. His NFL career, though, was nothing. He went to Arizona with the number 10 overall pick in 2006 and started the famous Denny Green, they are who we thought they were game against the Bears, which the Cardinals led 23-3 before folding. Lardner was 24 of 42 in that game with two touchdowns and no picks. Wow. He started 11 games as a rookie, five more the next year, but only two after that. One in Arizona, one in Houston. He was out of the league in 2012 with 15 touchdowns and 21 interceptions, which is a far cry from his college magnificence, Mike.
Yeah, college magnificence. Oh, wait. So you mean to tell me that Matt Leinart wasn't, for some people coming out of college at 37-2, thought of in the same general way of Joe Burrow? You mean Joe Burrow is so can't miss that people don't learn any lesson at all based on recent times, and a quarterback who played in a big market for a big offensive juggernaut in a pro-style system? You mean, like Matt Leinart, there's no cautionary tale that advances from that? What about for you?
I would just say this, that Burrow was number one, and Leinart was number 10, so maybe they were a little reticent on Leinart. Happy anniversary, Julius Irving. On this day 40 years ago, Irving completed one of the greatest dipsy-doo moves in basketball history in the NBA Finals against the Lakers, and it's simply indescribable. So watch it. We're showing it right now. Julius is, of course, a Long Island boy. Roosevelt High School, then UMass, where he averaged 26 points and 20 rebounds, one of only six players to average 20-20. He joined the ABA Virginia Squires in 1971 because the NBA was still refusing to take underclassmen. He was so spectacular, he basically forced the merger by himself. He joined the Sixers from the Nets, became a league champion, an MVP, and an 11-time All-Star. He's eighth all-time in scoring if you add the ABA and NBA totals. We're about the same age, Julius and I. Come from about the same place. At one point, we lived a mile from each other in Long Beach, and on some winter nights, we'd be going south on a Meadowbrook Parkway. Julius from a Nets game, me from Newsday. I'd try to race him. He'd win. He was in an Avanti. I was in a Pinto. Who knew we'd both become doctors, huh, Will Vaughn?
You know, I'm going to tell a story out of school now, because I once went up to Julius when I was really young, and I said, "You were on the same court at times as Anthony Kornheiser?" And Julius looked at me, and he was sort of annoyed, and he said, "Hey, Tony wasn't a bad ball player, so stop it." That's as great an endorsement as you're
player.
Ever going to get. Oh, so you say he took it easy, he pumped you up a little bit?
Well, we used to shoot around and practice together.
I know.
After a while, when the practice was over, he crushed me. Come on. Happy Trails, Taulia Tungavailoa, the younger brother of Tua, has entered the transfer portal and will be leaving Alabama. Taulia was the third-string Bama quarterback last season, behind his brother Tua and Mac Jones, who stepped in when Tua broke his hip. Jones played well and has been predicted to be the starter this season. Nick Saban also brought in a highly touted freshman quarterback, Bryce Jones, giving Alabama more than enough Joneses and making Taulia expendable. Taulia played in five games, completed 9 of 12 passes for 100 yards. Speculation will now begin as to where Taulia might land. Knowing absolutely nothing, I will throw out a couple of coaches with Alabama ties who may be interested. Former offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin may want him for Ole Miss, and former offensive coordinator Mike Locksley may want him for Maryland.
I'm sure they may want him. But let me just ask you this. If my younger brother, my older brother, I'm sorry, was going to make, you know, $100 or so million, and he was going to be living in South Florida because that's who drafted him, and I'm a young man barely into my 20s, if that, where do you think I would transfer to go to school? Somewhere in South Florida, because I'm going to live in a wing of Big Brother's
the
house.
The U.
Okay.
The U.
And if
right?
they don't want, they got other schools there. They got other stuff in South Florida, but I'd be living large. Large. All right, Tony. We're going to throw it back to Sage and Kevin, and they're living large in Bristol.